thoughts on West Virginia?
Well, they're obviously playing well. I don't know, what have they won, four of their last five or something like that, and got some good wins, and a couple of their losses, they could have easily, you know, beat Oklahoma State twice. Had opportunities both games, and you know, they're probably as explosive as any guard pair, you know, with State and Harris, anybody in our league. So they're good. They're quick, and seems like to me that this is the type of team that Hugs likes coaching. Yeah,
I know he plays a lot of minutes, but is that
he never comes out.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to average more than 40 minutes a game in league play, but he has. But he plays bigger than his standing height. He's strong, and of course he puts so much pressure on you with the ball coming at you. But he's a good player. He's definitely got a great opportunity to be first team all league.
Big picture. How do you feel about your team and where it's at defensively right now?
You know, we've gotten quite a bit better. You know, I'm probably more critical of our defense than what a lot of coaches are theirs, because we're used to, you know, being not good, really, really good, and we're not really, really good yet. We're getting better. I thought obviously against Texas we didn't guard, and I thought obviously against Baylor we did, and big part of defense is cleaning up your misses or cleaning up their misses, and we did a good job of that against Baylor, against a great rebounding team. So I think we're getting better. I think that I wouldn't put us against some of the great defensive teams we've had here in the past, but I'd certainly put us in a category that we can get really good, and we're not quite there yet.
Can you talk about how Nigeria has grown his game and leadership skills this season?
Well, I think he's a natural leader. I've always thought Nadir was that. That's one of the reasons why we wanted him, is because I knew that he had great intangibles in that particular area. So, but his game has grown, and he's become more confident. He shot the ball very well. He's doing a better job of even being more vocal and running our team. You know, I would say that since early in the season, when I was a little disappointed with him, and from an intangible standpoint, I'd say he's improved, you know, 70-80% since then. I think he's done a great job, and certainly, you know, when you worry about the right things, you're obviously going to shoot the ball better, and I think that's been one of the residual effects of him providing more intangibles, is he's just relaxed and playing and shooting the ball better.
Bill, what surprises you about the league race here at the halfway point?
Well, I think I've said this before. A lot of times when you have everybody with losses in a league, it gives the appearance of mediocrity. You know, when you look at the league race right now, we have one, Texas has two, and then everybody else has at least four. Is that right? But it's the same way it is in the Big Ten, too. In Big Ten, you look at Michigan State, and I think I could be off one, but I think everybody else has four or whatever in that league, too. The reason why leagues appear to be so good sometimes, if you have three ranked in the top 10 or something like that, is because the bottom half of the league isn't able to beat the top half, and that's certainly not the case this year. I think the what's perceived to be, you know, not the top five teams in our league can certainly beat the top five teams in our league, and I think that's what makes our league more difficult than most, if not all, because everybody's capable. I still think it's wide open. I don't think it's a two-horse race at all. I think there's still some teams with four losses that have a shot. And, you know, we were in this position last year, if I'm not mistaken, 7-3, and 7-0, and end up having to come from behind to get a piece of it. So it's still wide open.
Did you see this kind of balance being this good?
No, I didn't, because, you know, you look at West Virginia, they lost some key parts, and they're a lot better. And you look at OU, they lost some key parts, and they're a lot better. Texas Tech's a lot better. K-State lost some key parts, and they're good. Texas lost a lot, and they're a lot better. So I think that, you know, going into it, you think that on paper, you know, us, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, you can make a case saying, well, I can see how they got a chance to be pretty good. I think that's what's made our league so competitive and so good, is that there's a lot of teams that went into the off season with a lot of unknowns, and those unknowns have proven out to be really quality players and that have performed probably better than last year's quality players did at those respective schools.
With Joel, since you've had him at least, what areas have you seen that he's picked up that have been easy for him, and then what areas have you seen that have been difficult for him? I mean, just given that he's been playing the game such a short time.
Well, I mean, I think it's easy for him to pick up scout report. I think it's easy for him to pick up feel. He Joe's one of the brightest guys. He can tell you what all five guys are supposed to do on every play. Point guards are supposed to be able to do that, but I guarantee you Joe does it as well as anybody. So his IQ has really impressed me. He's got to get stronger. His lower body strength, he gets knocked off a spot too easy. There's a lot of things that he has to do that I think which makes him a prolific scorer. The other thing, you know, sometimes I think he defers too much. I don't think he realizes what presence he is offensively, and he tries to maybe make passes out of the post as opposed to just going quick and scoring. So he's got to get used to double teams and everything. But he's actually done a pretty good job with them for the most part. So, I mean, he can improve in everything. He's just scratching the surface on everything. But I do think his aggressiveness to score would be one area that I'd like to see him get better at.
There's not a lot of sense in looking ahead and see what a guy's going to do after the season, if he's going to leave after a year or whatever, with guys like Joel. But from a coaching standpoint, do you want to talk to them during the season to get a feel for it, to know what you might need in recruiting? Or
I have talked to them. You know, I mean, the thing about it is regardless of what they tell us, I mean, we've had kids tell us for sure they're positively coming back and leave. I mean, so. You know, we've had kids say they're positive staying and they transfer. I mean, so a lot of times what they say really doesn't have much bearing on how you should prepare. I guarantee if Joe says that he's leaving or staying, it makes no difference. We better have one ready in case he does decide to go. So it does not really keep us from moving forward from a recruiting standpoint, unless the available guys have already committed to other schools. But, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. And you know, to be honest with you, I like the guys we have coming back, whether all the guys stay or not stay. We'll have a chance to be really good next year. So it's our staff's done a good job. Our assistants have done a good job recruiting good players into our program. And there's some guys just waiting for their opportunities, a lot like Relaford and Johnson and Withy that I think can step in and have similar effect. It just hadn't had a chance yet. So, sure, I'd like to have it all spelled out, knowing what we should be doing. But that's not the way it is at high level programs, and it's not the way it is across America at high level programs. I mean, you've got to be prepared for, you know, hope for the best and prepare for the worst. I guess.
Is it different with potential one and done guys? I mean, you've had guys leave early before, so it's not like you never had guys thinking about it during the season.
The one and done guys are the easiest ones to replace. You know, you stop and think, Ben last year, we had no idea he'd be a one and done guy. You know, we were fortunate we were able to have a great recruiting class. But I'm not sure we would have got Wiggs if Ben had stayed. But the whole thing is, it's the hard ones are the ones that basically come out of nowhere and end up leaving early. I mean, those are the tough ones. So the guys that are potentially pros or potentially high draft picks, but, you know, probably project them to be a 2 or 3 or 4 year guy, and they end up having the opportunity after two, is where that really sets you back recruiting wise. Because most of the recruits that we recruit, if they're a high level guy, they know your roster. And so they know if guys are projected to be leaving after the year. It's the ones that aren't projecting that can really screw you up recruiting-wise, because you haven't been able to replace them because The reason is because kids will not aren't as interested in your school because you have a junior that's a two-year starter already there. And so that's what makes it difficult is those guys that come out of left field and have great years and leave when they're probably not expected to late January, early February.
Barnes, maybe it was on a conference call last week, he said something like, this is the time of year where a lot of times kids start thinking forward. And
yeah, it's true.
How do you guard against that? How do you try to...
I don't think it's the kids doing as much as the people around them doing it, or helping them do it. Hopefully the parents have a pretty level head, and certainly the people that influence them the most understand that them making decisions or speaking for their kid in January or February really have no bearing at all on what he should do in April. None. Nor does it help him in any way, shape, or form make more money. So, you know, the thing about it is, if you're in that position, you should just take a deep breath and enjoy it and let it play out and see what happens, as opposed to trying to force feed it, because when you try to force feed it, it very rarely plays out the way that you had expected it to. And the other thing is that the people that want them to leave, they're going to be relentless in trying to convince the players' people, that it's in their best interest to leave. So that's why it's real important that families and people close to the kids understand that, hey, there's no reason to listen to anybody right now. There's really not. The only thing you should listen to is just hey, I want my son or my guy to finish his college season with as good as he possibly can with the least amount of distractions, and then we'll make a decision after we gather information after that. And if you're able to do that, you'll probably see kids probably play better in the NCAA tournament as opposed to having all the other pressures on their shoulders, which a lot of kids have to deal with.
Were you pretty proud of Wayne and how he guarded Heskett last game?
Yeah, I told Wayne, I mean, he totally gave himself up for the betterment of our team. He was great. He looked like Travis out there guarding. And we've seen Travis do that an awful lot. I thought Wayne was fabulous. You know, the kid made four threes, and he made one on him. He made one mistake in a 33-minute time or 30-minute game in which he guarded a guy that really moves well without the ball. So I was really proud of Wayne.
Talk about defense. Are there other signs that you see of your defense coming on, or maybe again?
Well, we didn't against Texas. Obviously, Texas, you know, field goal percentage defense against Texas was decent. Well, they shoot 39. You know, I talk about our defense not being very good, and what are we, 40%? And I think we're just percentage points behind number one in our league. We may be number one in our league, field goal percentage defense. I don't know. And we're number one in our league in rebound margin, and we're number one in our league in block shots. So there's a lot of things that we've done good defensively. I just don't think it's quite as good as what it can be.
Is it tougher for young guys to grasp what you're trying to do defensively as a group or individual?
I have a hard time buying into maybe young guys early in the season, but I have a hard time buying into that because by this time of year, they should have a pretty good feel for what we want. The thing I think that's held us back defensively a little bit, I don't think that we've been turned up and play with the energy all the time that we need to play with in order to be great defensively. It's not from lack of trying, but that's the way that way in anything in life. Some days you're a little bit more enthusiastic about doing something than you are other days, and it's amazing the days you usually do that job better. And I think that there's been some days we've been lacking a little bit in that area.
How is Connor's health, and what have you seen from him this year?
This year? Well, I think he's done fine. You know, he and Brandon have kind of drew the short straw on minutes, kind of being the odd guys out. But Connor's had he hasn't had a great year from a production standpoint in games, but he's gotten a lot better. And, you know, he'll be ready next year when his number's called. And hopefully he'll be ready if his number's called later on this season, because I guarantee it will be. And hopefully he'll be prepared and ready. But his health is fine. He's 100%.
Selden kind of giving himself up for the team and guarding Heslop at Baylor. He probably could have gone somewhere else and been, you know, like the man his freshman year, but here he's sometimes the third, fourth, maybe fifth option on offense. How has he kind of handled that considering how talented he is?
Well, I don't buy into that because the way we play, it's equal opportunity. Mm-hmm. Open man take the open shot. And so, I mean, we don't run. I mean, if So he's our third leading scorer, which means he's having a heck of a year as a freshman. So he goes somewhere else and he averages 14. The team doesn't win as much. I mean, what? I think he's right where he wants to be and right where he needs to be. And don't think that other places, people don't ask, coaches don't ask their players, hey, tonight may need to give yourself up a little bit offensively to make sure you're the only guy that can guard him. That happens everywhere. I don't buy into that thinking at all. Here's what you should buy into if you're thinking about like guys like Wayne or whatnot. Would he be playing more anywhere else? The answer would be no. He's playing 30-plus minutes a game. So I think he probably picked the right place to go in and have an opportunity to do his deal.
Coach, halfway through conference play, you guys are 8-1. How confident is your team right now compared to maybe other times this season?
Well, I would think coming off of a good road win, we're pretty confident. You know, it's nice to make somebody else play poorly. I think that we got a little little lax or maybe big head is not the right word. So nobody write that. But I think we got a situation where maybe we lost our edge a little bit going down to the Texas game. We didn't play with that competitive edge. But I do think we're pretty confident. But I don't want us to be this is a team that you can't. I don't think you can let them think. You want them to believe they're good, but you can't let them act like they are. And they got to stay hungry because they're so young. And I made a mistake. I probably complimented them a little bit too much when things were going well, and I think they mistook that. Me being nice to them maybe is me being soft to them. And I don't think that we need to allow it to happen with a bunch of young kids.
So a team that's shooting over 50% from the field in one conference loss, do you still think?
Yeah, they're fine.
You still think this team can get a whole lot better?
God, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we should be able to get better. I mean, if there's only been a few games this year where we've been hitting on all cylinders with all our main players, we better get better or it's going to end sad. I mean, I think every team in America would say the same thing. So, yeah, there's a lot of room for growth and improvement.
This is a little off topic, but there's a couple undefeated teams left, and you guys have had seasons where you've won 18 or 20 games to start. What is the challenge of keeping that going and running the table, something that hasn't done in a long, long time?
Well, we've never been in a situation where we were close to being in a position to run the table. I mean, we got off to some good starts. I think in 08 we were 20-0 or something like that, and we still had to go to Texas and to Okie State and play some really hard games. So, to me, that was never a realistic thing. But with the teams that are presently, the two teams, Wichita State and Syracuse, I wouldn't, you know, it's easier said than done, but I wouldn't think about running the table. I think about just trying to win the next game and get better the next game. And it's always been to me, when you start looking ahead, and get out of the thought process and why you are where you are, you know, that's when you usually slip up a little bit. So I would be, my personal opinion, I think it's hard for teams to be great unless they go through some crap. And obviously those two teams haven't experienced much of that this year. But if I was a coach, I'd coach to win every game as hard as possible, but I would, you know, really enjoy any adversity that's thrown my way while trying to do it.
The second half of the season, it would be easy to assume that the preparation for league opponents might be easier, but what maybe is tougher about it?
I think it's harder to score. I think other teams know you better. And usually when teams scout, and we're guilty of this, we scout on how do we stop them. Okay, and then we also scout how do we score, but probably majority of the emphasis is how do we stop them, and then we may put in something to try to attack what they do to us. But the second time you play a team in the league or in the conference tournament, you know each other so well, it's hard to score. I think in league play, the second time around you rely more on players making plays, where the first time around you can rely a little bit more on running plays. And to me, that would be the biggest difference from a scouting standpoint.
Tell us a little bit more about West Virginia. I know the turnover margin.
Yeah, they don't turn it over. You know, they play through their guards, and they got two little guards that are as quick as anybody in the league, and certainly Harris shoots it as well, scores as well as anybody in the league, and they really added a lot of perimeter shooting since last year, and Debo and Adrian. I mean, those guys can shoot it and stretch it from the big spots. So I think they're a real challenge to guard, especially knowing what our strengths are. I think it's a big-time challenge, and then they will pressure us. I think that Huggs will have them out there and trying to take away the next pass, and which he usually does, but they're good at it. So it'll be a good challenge. It should be a good game. They're athletic. We're athletic. There should be a lot of possessions, and should be a fun game to watch.
I know this is kind of a softball question, but I guess Ben's going to be in the dunk contest. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Who's the best dunker you've ever coached?
The best dunker I've coached? I think Wiggs could be, if he wanted to be. I'm not sure it'd interest him that much, but it actually takes energy to do that. But I would say Ben probably. Elijah, when he first got here, was off the charts. You know, he lost some of his hop after he'd been here a while, after we rode him hard for 4 years. But I'm trying to think who else. J.R. Giddens was a great dunker. I mean, J.R. could fly. I would say those guys would probably be the best, but Ben to me Ben to me liked to show off how athletic he was more than anybody we've ever had here, and he'll do something funky in the dunk. You know, he may not win it, but he'll do something funky that I guarantee it will definitely put him in contention, I bet.
Yeah.